Let's have a word of prayer. Let's start this new series called Love is Greater. Amen. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the word of God. Love is the greatest thing of all. Love never fails. Love will last forever. We're commanded to love. It's a new kind of love. It's a new commandment you gave to us, the love of God in our hearts. And so, Lord, we commit these next 8 weeks to grow together. We commit these next 8 weeks to be hearers and doers of the word. We're going to grow together. We're going to learn. We're going to learn to walk in love. And so thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated, all right? Down the wrong pipe there. You know what I'm talking about? All right. The love of God is really something else. Amen. God's love has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. It's already filled our hearts. Jesus commands us to walk in love. In one place, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I've loved you, that you love one another. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. By this kind of love, they'll all know you are my disciples indeed. So we're commanded to walk in love. The great commandment, the Bible says Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment of all? So really, it's two parts. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, the entire Bible rests upon these two commandments right here. So if we walk in love like that, we never go against any of God's commands. We fulfill every commandment. We don't break any of God's commandments, any of God's laws, any of man's commandments, any of man's laws, if we'll walk in love like that. What does this kind of love look like? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 gives us a clear picture of what the God kind of love looks like. Now, if you like this kind of stuff, the Greek word for love is the word agape. This word is not used in the Old Testament. It's a new kind of love that came along when the Lord Jesus Christ came along. It was never here on the earth before. Jesus brought a new kind of love to mankind when he came into the earth. And he fills mankind's heart with that love when they receive him as Lord and Savior. But God kind of love says this, I love you, and you can't do a thing about it. He says, I love you because it's my choice, not yours. The God kind of love says, I love you whether or not you ever love me in return. The God kind of love says, I love you based on my character, not yours. The God kind of love says, I love you based on my nature, not yours. The God kind of love says, whether or not you treat me good or bad, I love you. The God kind of love says, the love I love you with is unconditional. The God kind of love says, I love you, get used to it. I love you, you can't do a thing about it. I love you, deal with it. I love you, it's just the way it is. It's the God kind of love. It's not based upon feelings, it's based upon heart. It's not based upon feelings, it's based upon character. It's not based upon how we feel. It's based upon obedience to what Jesus said, a new commandment I give you that you love one another. But what does this love look like? What are we talking about here? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, we'll begin there. The great love chapter written by the Apostle Paul. I'll read from the New Living Translation. And he says this about love. He says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but if I didn't love others, I'd only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You see, love is greater than all. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans, if I possessed all knowledge, if I had such faith, I could move mountains, but if I didn't love others, I'd be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my own body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless. We have no need for the gifts of Spirit in heaven. We do now. But love will last forever. Or the King James says, love never fails. I like that translation. Love never fails. Love will last forever. Then drop down to verse number 13. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And therefore, we get our title for this set of teachings: love is greater than all. Now, love is greater than all. We need this kind of love in homes. Oh, if husbands would, as Ephesians 5 says, love their wives as Christ loves the church. This is the kind of love he's talking about there. If we had this kind of love in homes, what could happen? If we had this kind of love in families, what could happen? If believers who are already filled with this kind of love would just walk in love, what a difference their life could be. How has the damage been so serious for people who've chosen to walk in anger instead? Who've misunderstood or I just didn't estimate properly the destructive nature of anger. You see, anger is a destroyer. When a person gives in to anger and loses control, they can do things, they can say things, and they have a blast radius around them. We call it collateral damage. I like how we unintended circumstances. It's called blast zone is what it is. And people all around you get blown up, amen? And damage can be done sometimes that lasts a lifetime in people's hearts. I've counseled people over the years who are grown up, have kids of their own, and are still damaged by the anger that was directed at them at some point in their life, especially verbally. See, sticks and stones, they break my bones. Words hurt even worse. You listening to me now? And oftentimes anger is expressed verbally through people's mouths, and they don't realize the power of what they say. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You listening to me now? Oh, if we would just walk in this kind of love. It's been there for us all the time. This love has been there for us all the time. We have this reservoir, this artesian well that never ends, that never runs out, that never fails of love on the inside of us because Jesus is on the inside of us. If we would only tap into it and not let human emotion and fallen human nature dominate the believer. That's called being carnally minded or being a carnal Christian. If we really would walk in the Spirit, we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we really would walk in the Spirit, it'd be an amazing thing, the healing that could take place. And not just that, the preventative nature of walking in love. When we lose it, we ought to confess. When we mess up, we ought to fess up. But the Bible says that through the fear of the Lord, we can avoid a lot of stuff also. That's why the Great Commandment has two parts. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. If I love my neighbor as myself, and when I mess up, hey, I'm sorry, I repent, I ask you to forgive me, but if I love God with all my heart, chances are I'll avoid the whole thing to begin with anyway. It's a preventative thing. Does that make sense to you guys right there? And so love is so important. So we see what it looks like. We see that Jesus commands us to walk in love. In fact, let's go to the book of Matthew, please. Chapter number 22. Let's just look at the scripture. Matthew, great commandment. Matthew 22, verse number 37. When Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment of all? Here is his answer. It wasn't thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not steal. It is thou shalt love. That's his answer. Jesus replied, Matthew 22, 37, New Living. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And so love becomes an issue of obedience for the believer, not an issue of feeling. I don't, you know what? We missed the video, didn't we? I didn't do the video. We'll do the video after. It's so good. That video in there says, no exceptions. No exceptions. There's no exceptions to a commandment. There's no exceptions, you guys, to a commandment. It's a commandment. It's for our good. Everything the Lord commands us to do is for our benefit. Everything he commands us to do is for our blessing. To keep us out of trouble, to keep trouble away from us, to cause us to grow and become like Jesus. He says this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second, he said, is equally important. Really, it's one commandment with two parts. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So if I do that, if I love God and love you, I don't violate any of God's commandments. I don't break any of thou shalt nots. I don't break any of man's laws. If I'll simply commit to walk in love. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 is a huge verse that we have to know. We're going to bring this up in the New King James Version. I like it better in New King James. And we have to understand this. We must know that God has already filled our hearts with his love. Amen. When I understand as a believer, God has already filled my heart with his love, I can stop praying prayers like this. God, give me more love. So many believers, so sincere. They understand, okay, I'm commanded to walk in love. God, give me your love. God, give me your love. Listen, God never commands us to do anything he hasn't already equipped us to do.
Amen.
God never commands us to do anything he hasn't already empowered us to do. So when he says, I command you to walk in love, he's already given us the power to do it. We have to just choose to walk in love. Many years ago, yesterday I was driving home, I think from my mother's house. We were driving down the road. This is back before anybody had credit cards. We didn't have any credit cards in those days. And so I knew I was really low on gas and I didn't have any money. And so my plan was to get home that night and get some cash and then go get some gas for the car. And so, but I ran out of gas. And so on the road, I ran out of gas. And so I had no money. So I had to finally call my brother and he went and got the lawnmower gas, you know, and gave me enough gas to make it to the next day. And here's the crazy thing. I didn't remember this, but I had money stashed in my wallet. See, lots of us guys have secret money. Sorry, ladies. Sorry, guys. I just blew your game right there. But lots of us guys have a little stash for money. You know, I want to buy a fishing rod or something like that. I want to go do something, you know. You want to buy shoes and stuff. I understand. Esther's bought lots of shoes over the years. And so anyway, so here's the thing. Here's the thing. I acted like I didn't have any money even though I did. I just didn't know I did. And because I didn't know I did, I acted like I didn't. The whole time, I could have drawn that money out. I just didn't know I had it, even though I did. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If we don't know what we have, how can we use what we have? Well, because we don't know we have it, even though we do. And so here, precious, precious, sincere saints are praying, God, give me more love, give me more love, when God's already filled them with his love.
Right.
And so therefore, they're like, well, I would walk in love. I'm waiting for God to give it to me. And whenever he does, then I will. Until then, I'm staying mad. Don't blame God for your anger. You listening to me now? If you're mad, you chose to be mad. We'll come back to that in a minute. Hey, the Bible says, you shall know the truth. And the Amiguer version is, and the truth shall make you mad, right? Amen. All right. So look at this verse in Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint. New King James. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That's a past tense verse. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And he was given to us the moment we said, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. The moment I was born again, the moment I accepted Jesus, he moved in with all of his power, love, glory, everything. Amen? So the great thing about the word pour is that liquid fills every minute square inch of its vessel. This is kind of a little tiny bottle here, but you can't say, look at that big corner down there. It's got no liquid in it. Liquid fills everything.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit intentionally used the word pour in this verse, Romans 5, verse 5. There is no part of your heart untouched by the love of God. You may not know it's there, but it is. You might be like me, having money in my wallet. I passed by gas stations when I ran out of gas because I didn't have any cash. I thought. I didn't know I had what I already had. I forgot I had it. Therefore, I behaved like I didn't have it, even though I did. And many believers behave like they don't have any love, and they're filled with it. But now we see, wait a minute here. God's love has been poured out in my heart. I can change my praying from God, give me love, to God, I choose to love.
Right.
I choose to walk in love. You've already filled me. And if I don't walk in love, I'm ignoring Romans 5, verse 5. If I don't walk in love, I'm just choosing not to. I can't say, well, God didn't give it to me or else I would. He gave it to you the second you said yes to Jesus. Amen. So we have to understand God has already filled our hearts with his love. This verse is in the past tense. God has poured it in. I have to pour it out. He won't pour it out for me. And so sometimes we have, you know, we have this vessel. We have a cap on that thing, right? And somebody does something, you just make that cap tighter, right? And somebody says something, you put it, now you seal it in something else, right? God poured it in, I just can't do it in here. We have to pour it out. God poured it in, we have to pour it out, amen? Let me give you three things we must know about God's love. First one, we already said, number one, God has already poured his love into my heart. You have to know that. This changes everything about love is greater than and the entire 8 weeks of teaching. This changes it all right here. God has already done it. Hello, vessels of love. Amen. Hello, containers of love. Hello, distributors of love. You are that right now. Now, whether or not you walk in love, that's your choice. But if you've said yes to Jesus, you are filled with his love. Romans 5:5 has already happened in your life. God has already poured it in. Number one, I must know this. God has already poured his love into my heart. There's no point in praying for God to give it to me. God's already done that. Number two, love is a decision. Love is a decision. Not I feel like it. I decide. I choose to walk in love. Listen, I choose to walk in love because of God's love in me. It's got nothing to do with you. We love him because he first loved us. Had nothing to do with us. And that same love is in us right now. So whether or not you act lovely toward me, and now if you're loving back to me, that's even better. But if you don't, I still choose to walk in love. If you're kind toward me, that's even more wonderful. We're going to grow. But if you don't, I still love you. I love you and you can't do a thing about it. I love you because it's unconditional love. It's not based upon. See, if my love is based upon you, I've just given you control of my life. That's not going to happen. You follow me? I've given him control of my life and he's already filled my heart with his love. Love's a decision. If I choose to love you, whether or not you ever love me. I choose to love you based on who I am, not based on who you are. See, we're different. We're children of the King.
Hallelujah.
We're members of the kingdom. We're in the family. We're different. There's something different about us. Are you listening to me now? So it's not based on you. It's based on who I am, not based on who you are. And this is freedom in Christ. Because I'm not, my moods and my choice to walk in love isn't based on the way you treat me. If it is, I've now submitted control. I mean, you're the puppeteer and I'm the one with the strings hanging on me, right? But if I just choose to walk in love, irrespective of how you treat me, I'm walking in liberty now. Amen. And if you love me, great. And if not, I still love you. And I'm going to find somebody else to walk in love toward. Amen. I choose to walk in love and forgiveness no matter how I feel. It's a choice. So love is a decision. God's already poured his love into my heart. Love is a decision. The third thing I know is this. This is so important. Love is more than a feeling. Love is more than a feeling. We've said it numerous times in the teachings leading up to this now on how to forgive from the heart. It's far easier to act your way into feeling than to feel your way into action. So feelings are great. Who wouldn't want to feel good? Feelings are a great passenger in the car, but they're bad behind the wheel. So be led by the Spirit, not by feelings. Be led by the Word, not by moods. Be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Word, not by how you feel. Be led by character and by principle, not by how you feel. Feelings are great passengers. They're just very bad leaders. Amen? So listen, love is more than a feeling. And here's what's going to happen. If I'm led by my feelings, I will be inconsistent. Because feelings come and feelings go. Feelings change, amen? I will be inconsistent. When I feel up, I'll be up. When I feel down, I'll be down. When I'm in a good mood, I'll be nice. When I'm in a bad mood, I'll be horrible. I mean, right? Yeah. Some of us work with people like that. What's worse, some of us live with people like that. Well, I want to grow through all that. I want to help you grow through that. Amen? I mean, there are some people, right? You know, if you have a boss like that, you're like, dear God. Will somebody go scout out the land? Are they in a good mood today? I wish I could send a weather balloon up. Let's send a spy in there and see how they are. Is it a good day to go in there? If not, should we just all stay away and put a yellow tape around their office or something like that, right? Well, if we're led by feelings, we're inconsistent. Number two, if I'm led by feelings, I will be selfish. Because the world revolves around me and how I feel. And I'll let you know how I feel. You know how I am, Pastor Ray. I'll let people know how I feel. We all know that about you. Right? So I'm going to be selfish. When I feel good, I'm easy to please. When I feel bad, I'm impossible to please. That's terrible. When I feel good, I'm nice to be around. When I feel bad, stay away. You know, I'll be inconsistent. I'll be selfish. And if I'm led by my feelings, I will not grow. And that is unacceptable. I will not grow. Kingdom living is about growth. Christ-likeness is about growth. The Great Commission, teach him to obey all things. That's all about growth. Amen? I will not grow. Why? Well, when I feel good, I'll obey God. And when I don't feel good, I don't even feel like going to church. I'm ready to stay home. I don't feel like it. Really, do you do that on Monday mornings regarding work? Just a thought. Doing it for free. Who are you going to give an account to? Never mind. Throw it in for free. All right? Thank you. I love you too. When I feel good and something goes wrong, I'll find a way to navigate through it. All right? But when I feel bad and something goes wrong, I'm going to get angry, blame somebody, blame God, or go do something stupid, self-destructive. I love this phrase every day, self-medicate. Back in my day, we called it getting stoned. When I was a stoner, me and my friends self-medicated all through high school, all right? You all right out there? I'm going to do this kind of stuff, all right? So if I'm led by my feelings, that's the kind of stuff I'm going to be into, or I'm going to withdraw and go hide in a corner somewhere, right? But I will not grow. So feelings are they're great passengers, but don't be led by feelings. Be led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8, verse number 14. Now, let's get down to it in these last few minutes. Here's what I know. Love is greater than anger and hate. It seems to me that people who give in to anger, who lose control, they don't seem to care about the people that they hurt. They say they do. And maybe later they try to apologize, which, I mean, is the right thing to do, to repent. But again, they don't realize the nuclear, toxic result, the blast radius that is around them. Amen? They can cause serious damage. And as we said a moment ago, that damage can last a long time. It can last a lifetime. People can be scarred by one angry outburst. Think of the people in the Bible. Moses, after 40 years of leading Israel, got angry and struck the rock instead of speaking to it for water to come out, and that cost him the promised land. Can you imagine? See, listen, remember this. It's not on the notes, not even on a slide. I want to write this one down. If I lose my temper, I may lose more than just my temper. Okay? Say it again. If I lose my temper, I may lose more than just my temper. I could lose my marriage. I could lose my family. I could lose the respect of my sons. That is absolutely unacceptable. I could shipwreck 35 years of faithful ministry. That's just unacceptable. Do you follow me? And it seems like it's unfair. Fair and unfair. It's just the way it is. So we don't realize the destructive nature of this stuff. Amen? It can cause major, major damage. Somebody said this, how much more grievous are the consequences of anger than the causes of it? Sometimes some little thing, just some little thing, will cause anger, but the blast zone because of it is way bigger than that which sparked it to begin with, right? Somebody said this, listen, speak when you're angry and you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret. All right? And the Bible has all the answers, Proverbs 29, 22. An angry person starts fights. A hot-tempered person commits all kinds of sin. That's destructive. Sin will destroy us. And a hot-tempered person commits all kinds of sin. Joel Osteen said, you can live your life angry, bitter, and mad at somebody, but you won't receive the good things God has in store for you. Well, guys, there's a trade-off, and I don't want that. That's just unacceptable. So let me give you three things I know about anger. Number one, I know this. This is an interesting thought. And you know this. Anger is contagious. Anger is contagious. It's a contagion. And if you know somebody who's angry, who all the time is angry, I wish you could put one of those big quarantine stamps right on their forehead. You know, skull and crossbones kind of a thing just on there. Just stay away. Contagion. Quarantine that person because anger is contagious. Somebody said anger is just one letter away from danger. It's a great thought, right? Anger is contagious. Well, the Bible says this. Don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. Let me read it again. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. Anger is contagious. Don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. Maybe some of us need to rethink some of our relationships, some of our friendships, because you become like those you run with. I know this. There's a thing psychologists call a mob mentality, where people can get caught up and just like somebody gets mad, they begin to act out, destroy somebody else does. All of a sudden, people get caught up in the wave of that. People who would normally never do something like that get caught up in what they call mob mentality. All that is Proverbs 22. They just caught it from somebody who was already angry. Amen? Anger is contagious. Many people pick up the anger of others. They're not even mad themselves, but it's because somebody else is mad, it just gets on them. So remember, anger is contagious. Do not befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people. Number two, and this is about anger. Anger is destructive. There's a blast zone. You know, you go to SeaWorld, they have these like first four rows that says wet splash zone, right? Now, you know, you're not even in the tank, but you're just in the radius. So, you know what? The best thing is just to get away from it if you don't want to get wet. Anger is destructive. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Listen, this is all in the Bible for thousands of years. Anger is destructive. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Ephesians 4, 26. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Well, I don't want him in my life because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Anger is destructive. Somebody said anger, resentment, and jealousy don't change the heart of others. It only changes your heart. Well, I don't want that. I've seen people, and this myth, well, you know, time heals all. Forget that thought. That's not even true. Some people, time makes them angrier and more bitter. It's what we do with the time that can heal all. But some people let that resentment and that anger over time get deeper and deeper and deeper. And they become, in fact, there's a word I can't even use in church for this, but they become a miserable old person. cranky old person. All right? Because of time. So don't believe, oh, time heals all. What you do with time heals all. Time can make you more angry, more intolerable, and more cranky. Amen? So anger is just, it'll destroy a person. And why be, we act like it's this weapon against somebody else when it's really a weapon turned on ourselves. We're angry at other things as if it's destructive. And then number three, and then we want to spend a few minutes on this. Anger can be controlled. Yes, it can. Anger can be controlled. Ecclesiastes 7, again, Solomon, who wrote Proverbs, wrote Ecclesiastes. All this wisdom, this wisdom is millennia old. You follow me? Not hundreds of years old, thousands. He said, control your temper, for anger labels you a fool. Albert Einstein said, anger dwells only in the bosom of fools. Wow. Wow. Control your temper. So, we can. God never tells us to do anything He hasn't already equipped us to do. How do I do it? Now, that's a great question. Now, okay, Galatians chapter 5. Let's turn over there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. You have to see this. Galatians 5, 22. You got to see it. All right, Galatians 5, 22. Anger can be controlled. 5:22, we call this the fruit of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. Are your fruitfulness produces this kind of fruit in our lives? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, looky here. Looky here. I have self-control in me right now because these nine fruit are already in me by the Holy Spirit. Now, some of the nine might be in the fruit stage. Some of the nine might be in the little bitty bud stage. But they're all in us by the Holy Spirit. All nine of them. The most famous, love, joy, peace. We hear about that all the time. Love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Wow. Again, you obey all of God's laws with these things right here. So, I have self-control. I have self-control. Say it with me. I have self-control. Say it again. I have self-control. Galatians chapter 5 says so. Well, I just can't control my temper. Either you're lying or the Bible's lying. I'm going to side with the Bible. Either you're right or the Bible's right. I'm going to bank on the Word. How about you? We just don't know these things. We haven't been taught. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So we go around saying, I can't control it. I just can't control it. I just can't. Yes, you can. Self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Real quickly, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, New Living. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. There it is again, self-control. For years we've read that verse, power, love, and a sound mind. Sound mind is really not a good translation. That's the old King James. All the modern ones say self-control or self-discipline. And that's the accurate from the Greek. Power, love, and self-discipline. Power, love, and self-discipline. I have self-control. Say it with me. I have self-control. Again, I have self-control. We've got to get that into our hearts. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to get that into your thinking. So, controlling my anger. Here we go. Number one, I just gave you the first one. I have self-control. So, please stop saying, I don't have any control. Instead, why don't you just instead say, I choose to be out of control. Now that we get. They made me. No, no, nobody made you mad. You chose to lose control. Let's just be honest. This is going to help us. Believe me. I grew up an angry kid. I don't have time, but there's issues. There was issues. And I was ticked. That's a nice word. You know what I wanted to say, right? That's probably why I was self-medicating. Just a thought. That's how I think, anyway. Make the pain go away. Am I right, huh? All right? Okay, I was there. And had issues to overcome. And the love of God has absolutely changed my life. And do I still feel it? Of course. Galatians 5, right before this, is all the works of the flesh. All these things are still in the fallen nature that we all live in flesh. Right in the list is anger. Yeah, sometimes things happen that I don't like. How about you? So I'm preaching to myself today. I have self-control. So please stop saying, I don't have control, all right? I can't control my anger. The Bible says you can. So listen, when you feel the temperature rising, and we all know what that feels like, back away. Just back away. Just when the needle's going like that, just back away. All right? We all know what that feels like. I have self-control. Number two, I watch my mouth. Now, that's a whole teaching right there. I watch my mouth. These are things I want us to start saying and praying. Instead of praying, God, give me more love, he's not even going to be able to answer that prayer. He's already done it for you. God, I have self-control. Thank you. I have self-control. I watch my mouth. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a gentle answer deflects anger. But harsh words make tempers flare. And don't we know the power of words, huh? How often have something flared up that's barely a little glowing ember, and then somebody says something and throws gasoline on it. And we just burnt the house down now over something that was almost out. Because words, harsh words, harsh words make tempers flare. Amen. I watch my mouth. So these are the things I want to say every single day. I have self-control. I watch my mouth. Here's how we control our anger right here. And then number three, I am full of his love. I am full of his love. Instead of saying, okay, now, don't get angry, don't get angry, don't get angry, you're focusing on anger. Don't get angry, don't get angry, you're thinking about anger. Don't get angry, don't get angry, don't get mad, you're thinking about madness. Change that. I'm full of his love. I'm full of his love. I'm full of his love. Whatever it takes. Take a picture of that and put it on your screensaver, all right? And you're on the freeway and someone does something stupid. Oh, I know I shouldn't look at my phone right now, but I have to. I'm full of, bless him. Bless him. I'm full of his love. I'm full of his love. Whatever it takes, I'm full of his love. Instead of saying, don't get angry, say, I'm full of his love. Because you are, Romans 5:5 says so. I'm full of his love. By that I mean this, focus on his love, not your anger. Focus on his love, not the cause of the anger. Focus on his love, not what's ticking you off. Focus on his love, not what's going wrong. Focus on his love. So these three things here, I pray you will add to your prayer life. Pray them and say them. Do it every day. Watch the transformation that will happen in your life. I have self-control. The Bible says you do. I watch my mouth. That's a choice that we can all make. I'm full of his love. Romans 5:5 says that we are. Listen, everybody, you have self-control. Watch your mouth. Keep the volume turned down. When it boils up, just back up and focus on his love in you. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. It's a lot, but it's all right here in the Word of God. Wow. We have self-control. Wow. We are full of your love. Wow, we really can watch the words of our mouth. Wow, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You've already filled us with your love. Love is greater than anger, greater than hate. and all that mess that goes with it. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. We choose to walk in love. We choose to walk in obedience to your word. We choose this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, friends, all this begins with a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to pray right now. If there's anybody here and you've never asked him to come into your heart, I don't mean, you know, like, hey, I go to church, I believe that God's out there. I mean a relationship. He's in your life and in your heart. We're going to pray right now. Secondly, if you've already asked him into your heart, but right now your heart's just not right with God, and there's some things you want to get right with him today, we're going to pray right now. And if you'd say, yes, Pastor Ray, please pray for me. I just want to get things right with the Lord today. I'm going to ask you right where you sit just to raise your hand here in just a second. And then right where you sit, I will lead us in a simple prayer. Amen. And God hears, and God answers. Thank you. There's a hand raised right there. Is there anybody else? Yes, please pray for me. I want to get things right with the Lord today. Anybody else this morning? We're going to pray. There's one hand raised over there. Thank you. God bless you. Praise God. Is there anybody else? We're going to pray right now. All right, let's all pray together. Let's all lift one hand. Let's pray like this. Lord Jesus, I believe in you with all of my heart. I believe you died for me and rose again from the dead. And today, I make you the Lord of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, let's keep our heads bowed for a moment here. There's something else I want us to ask you right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I want to know that we're talking where we need to hear. Like I said, these are areas in my life I'm growing in, and I want to grow in. How many here would just say, you know, Pastor Ray, you're talking to me this morning. There are some issues in my life here. I've had to deal with anger in my life at different times or whatever, or maybe right now, and you're talking to me. Let me see your hand right now. That's you. All right. Good. Thank you. Good. Thank you. We're going to help you during these next 8 weeks. So, Lord, thank you. This is a time of intensive growth. It's a time, Heavenly Father, of being fed by the Word of God. It's a time of the renewing of our minds, changing the way that we think. It's a time of, it's a resetting of our hearts and what we've believed about love and anger and all these things like this, and seeing how love is greater than any of it. And all of it, Lord, we can be healed of all of it. And so, Lord, I thank you right now for the great things you're going to do in all of us during these next 8 weeks, in the services and especially in the life groups. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. Hey, God bless you all. Thanks for coming today. Let's go live this. Again, get a flyer. The entire teaching schedule is on the flyer. It's a big one next Sunday. Love is greater than betrayal and rejection. If you know somebody who's been hurt by this, if you've been hurt by this, we'll see you next Sunday. It's going to be awesome. Amen. God bless you all. Welcome, Pastor Kevin, as he comes.